Hello and welcome to Up Only TV. I'm Ledger. I'm here with Kobe. Hey, Kobe.
Hello. Hi, Dan.
I'm doing great. We've got two special guests today, Beeple and People Pleaser. Beeple, hello.
What's up, buddy?
And People Pleaser, how are you?
Doing good.
Awesome. It is our pleasure to have y'all here. This is our first episode where we're actually branded as Up Only. So make sure you go to uponly.tv. And if you're here, you're already hopefully doing what you should be doing, which is subscribing to Twitch, follow Up Only TV on Twitter, all that good stuff. It's going to be the same amount of fun that we've been having on recent streams. We just made it official. With the brand, we are still happily brought to you by Blockfolio. Go to uponly.tv/Blockfolio. Start trading with Blockfolio today. Hey, Beeple and People Pleaser, since you guys are new here today with us, you're going to have to find a competition because we're going to give away $2,000 to somebody listening, and they are at your whims. So whatever you want to invent for them to do to win $2,000, it is your choice. All they will have to do is whatever you say. Yeah. And then the winner will send us their Ethereum address on Blockfolio. Go to uponly.tv/Blockfolio to download Blockfolio today. Thanks to Blockfolio for being our partner. You can swap from one coin to another straight on Blockfolio. They have trading now. It's a great user experience. Thanks to Blockfolio. And, yeah, y'all be thinking about what you want the folks to do. We'll probably do that around mid-show.
Okay, so give me some options of what we could have people do.
All right, so last time...
Do, like, what are you kind of, like, forcing people to do? Like, how...
Yeah, so once we made them... Once we made them draw their dog while also taking a photo of their dog. So they had to take a photo of their dog with a drawing of their dog in the same photo. Once they did a poem, once they had to like go dig through OpenSea to find like the best NFT purchase they could find. So like you just have to give them a task. They go do something. They can be creative. Whatever you want. You're in control.
Interesting. I don't know. We'll come back to that. People Pleaser, anybody? Do you have any ideas here?
We don't have to do it right now. We can leave it for a little bit, then we'll give you some time to think about it, and then get into it. But so we have Beeple and People Pleaser, two legendary artists. Since the people watching will be a mixture of people that follow you, people that follow us. Do you want to give a quick introduction on who you are, what you do, and why you have made the poor life choice of joining our stream?
I'll let you go first.
So, hi, I'm People Pleaser. I basically used to work in 3D animation on a bunch of like movies and stuff. So, like, I don't know, I have an IMDb. It's like
you're pretty big deal.
I'm basically famous. No, but
flexing on it.
If you haven't seen like me, but you're in the crypto space, recently I've been doing all of the sort of meme videos for all the different DeFi protocols and outside DeFi as well. So if you haven't seen me, you probably have seen one or two of my videos. And yeah, I was working in movies before and then was recently was at Blizzard on their cinematics team before I jumped into crypto full time.
Does anyone else have an IMDb? Is that just no one else on the call has got an IMDb?
You know, Sharon Stone.
You got an IMDb,
Sharon Stone was actually, Sharon Stone was my mom in a made for TV movie when I was a child. In the late 80s.
Are you telling me?
Oh, I do have an IMDb.
Oh, wow. So all of you have got an IMDb. The only person that doesn't is me.
No, I never got an IMDb. I just got like vanilla wafers or something as a reward. You know, when you're an 18-month kid in a TV movie, you don't get the IMDb for that.
Imagine not having an IMDb.
So Beeple's flex was even harder because it was like, I don't know if I have an IMDb.
No, I actually have multiple ones. I actually have three different ones. One that is me with a thing I was in. There's an interview of me in, and I have not even seen it. one that's Mike Beeple Winkleman that I have no idea what the fuck that is. And then I have another one where my name's spelled wrong and it has the one actual film that I've worked on.
How disappointing of IMDb. They're not curating well enough there.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I do.
Maybe if we rebuild IMDb on the blockchain, we wouldn't have these kind of errors.
That's true. That's true. There'd be some provenance of working with the thing. Yeah. But yeah, my name is Mike Winkleman Beeple. I make a bunch of weird digital art that is weird, and I have been doing a picture every day for the last second here, and I am actually quite new to this crypto, and I actually don't know anything about this like DeFi stuff that these guys, like, I don't even know what the hell Blockfolio is. I'm being totally honest, like, I barely understand DeFi. It's very scary to me. And it seems a little sketchy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
The projects are just like you're farming and you're shoving freaking pineapples up your butt. You got fucking, you know, liquidity mining. And yeah, there's all this crazy shit where it's like, what in the fuck are you guys doing? So
your financial advice is to sell DeFi.
Yeah, so I was definitely interested to talk and hear more about, you know, the things you guys are interested in this DeFi thing and what I should be looking at, and why it's not a scam.
scams pump the hardest. So you said your work is kind of weird, and it is like sort of fucked up, and you do like a piece every day. So like, what is going on in your life? Like, who hurt you? Like, why are you like waking up and going like today?
Okay, today a therapy session.
Buzz Lightyear with a breast pump. Let's go.
Okay. You know, that's a good question. Fair question. I don't know. I'm actually shockingly normal and boring. Actually, like, I have 2 kids. I work from home. Like, you know, I'm married. I look like Bill Gates. Which is super boring, actually. So I don't, and people are normally like, when they see me or talking, it's like, wow, that's not what I expected. Like, I think they expect me to be like some friggin' weird, I don't even know what, like, person. And it's like, no, pretty boring and normal. So yeah, I'm not 100% sure where this weirdness is coming.
I think there's a trend here, because Kobe, aka Jordan, is very similar, where it's like the more laid back and chill you are in person, the more you can just blast out on your internet persona.
That's true. Yeah. I feel like that could be it. Although I feel like the internet me is kind of me. I don't know. But I guess I don't know what type of person would make a picture like that. Like, what would you expect?
I love the banana accessory.
I'd be hooked up to some sort of like milking machine for this like interview, or what were you guys kind of thinking here? What was the over under?
I mean,
I kind of thought you could be just an AI. Like, you could just not even be a person. It's just
sure
connected to a computer program.
That seems like that's a reasonable, you know, assumption.
You know, maybe your art is what allows you to live that normal Bill Gates life. Like, you get it out, you get to compartmentalize your sort of problems, and then you just like get to live as a normal.
My problems.
Yeah, so you got buzz out of your body, and you're good.
You get to compartmentalize all of your mental problems. I feel like I just have like a very weird sense of humor, and that's it. Like, it's not. It's
so, like, is yours like, is your inspiration in some of these where you're pulling in like cartoon characters? Is it because your kids are watching something and you're like, you know what, I just need to make something about Shrek today? Because I have 2 kids and they watch the same crap over and over again. So
no, they watch weird stuff now. What do my kids watch? They watch like they're watching this like Fast and the Furious like
17
racer thing, like Dune racer thing right now. They're really into more than anything. They're super into Breath of the Wild. They are freaking love Zelda Breath of the Wild. Like that is the thing. So yeah, they're not. And also if they like if they're watching something, it's like I can pretty easily like tune that out because it's just like very annoying and like whatever. Like I can tune it out super easy. It's not like I'm gonna sit there and watch a half hour episode of some garbage.
Yeah, kids TV is some of the most annoying content on
planet
Earth.
The other thing. Yeah, it is insanely annoying. And if they watch something that's super annoying, like have you ever seen that like Blippi dude?
Dude, I want to punch Blippi in the face.
Fucking Blippi. No, that's like no, you guys aren't watching that shit, that fucking jackass.
When we ask this,
I'll fucking punch you in the face, you motherfucker.
When we ask our youngest son to spell his name, he's 3, he's like Blippi, and it's like that's just what Blippi signs
right
off
there,
with.
I kind of wanted to punch you in the face a little bit, just hearing that little piece of it.
It's no, the worst, man.
Anything like that, I'm pretty like, I'll just shut it down. Like, yeah, you're not watching that. That's too fucking annoying. I can't even hear any piece of that in my life. So it's like, no, shut that shit down. Shut her down. Yeah.
So what do y'all use for like your kind of inspiration, especially when you're doing such regular pieces?
Honestly, just looking around like different art on the internet, you know, there's tons and tons of just amazing artists. And honestly, I think I'm also inspired a lot by the news. I watch, you know, the news quite a bit. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think it's just kind of weird shit going on in the news. Weird stuff that I see on the internet, and then just
what about
what
you?
It is.
What about you, people pleaser?
Well, so my work on my Instagram is mostly like just personal stuff, which I haven't had that much time to do, so not as dedicated as people, but
okay,
my
get working.
My actual like work that I've been doing lately is can all be found on my Twitter and is actually not on my Instagram. Are all these like meme videos or DeFi protocols essentially? And I think most of my inspiration probably comes from I look at people's art all the time, and I also watch a lot of media, entertainment, games, and lots of anime, and also probably just like Japanese commercials and and maybe drugs. Just kidding.
Okay. Wow. The family show brought to you by BlockFi. We do
drugs. Blockfolio.
We do we promote drugs. Wow. Okay. Wow. I'm off this now.
That's all right. The contract is signed, so they're stuck with it.
Fuck them. Fuck Blockfolio. I'm with you guys.
I don't know what they were were expecting. Most of my Twitter feed's about ketamine. So
wait. So okay, here we'll get our Blockfolio fucking commercial in here. What the fuck is Blockfolio?
All right, Blockfolio.
Oh, take it away, Ledger.
So back in the previous bull market in 2017, it was mostly a portfolio tracking app. So it's like you'd say, oh, I bought 100 Ethereum. You'd put them in there. And then you just like constantly refresh it saying how much money have I made today, or did I lose 10% of my net worth or whatever. So it was mostly tracking coins and stuff. And then the Giga Brains over at a place called FTX bought it. Sam Bankman-Fried, they bought it, and they're integrating trading into it now. So now you can track your stuff just like before, but you can also like send your ETH there and like trade ETH for sushi or whatever else. So they're introducing, more stuff that's going to actually be revenue generators, and it's backed by like the same pools and stuff as like their FTX exchange. So it's like the Robin Hood of crypto now.
Gotcha. And what is sushi? I've heard a lot of talk about sushi coin or whatever the fuck it is. What is that?
Well, People Pleaser did a great video on it. There's this walking sushi here.
See, that does look great, but it does not seem super informative, if I'm being honest. No criticism on the video. It looks very good, but it doesn't, I'm not sure it 100% says what this is.
Yeah, so a lot of this DeFi stuff, it's trying to make it so you don't need like these centralized parties all the time. So like, your really active traders, they may go to a place like FTX or Binance or something and make trades back and forth. And Uniswap and Sushi and some of the others.
Oh, wait. So Uniswap is like, Sushi and Uniswap are the same?
Yeah, they're like competitors, where Sushi is like the cool, fast-moving one, and Uni is like the slower, more like, you know,
institutional
one. It's like Coinbase versus Binance, except for Uni versus Sushi.
And wait, then okay, let's go back to that. Let's expand the circle even further. So wait, Binance is like Coinbase?
Well, they're both exchanges.
What's the difference between Coinbase and Binance?
They're different exchanges, but Binance moves a lot faster. They play in the regulatory gray zone maybe a little more. Like, if you say what nation is Binance from, like, they would say all of them because they prefer it to be none of them. Because they have their like regulatory feistiness, you know. Like,
okay, well, Jesus Christ. So when you say regular feistiness, you mean the fucking feds are like 2 seconds from fucking kicking the goddamn door down, or what?
No, it's just you know, regulators are always behind crypto products. So Binance, they have regulations, and like, I can only use Binance US. I can't even use like Binance.com. But like in certain countries, people can use Binance.com. Whereas Coinbase, like they're not going to do anything unless they've got like the regulator they're talking to all the time before they release the product or list the coin, as an example. And Sushi similarly moves really fast. So like a lot of these DeFi projects, they're taking profits from their product, from the protocol, and they're funneling the profits back to token holders, which some people may say, hey, that looks kind of like a security. That's not necessarily great in the U.S. Whereas Uni is going to be a lot more careful about how they introduce something like that, like profit sharing from the protocol back to token holders, because, you know, the people behind Uni are like in the U.S. and they have venture capitalist backers and some of those things. And it gets a little more complicated. Not that they're doing anything wrong, but it's just harder to get that regulatory oversight. So where some say, you know, move fast. If we're doing something wrong, we'll try our best not to and ask for forgiveness if somebody comes and knocks on the door. And the others are right. Like, let's get permission from everything.
Did I just get fucking indicted in a goddamn SEC fucking investigation by being on this stupid podcast? God damn it.
I'm not a lawyer, and that is not financial advice.
What the fuck? Get the fuck on the ground, people.
You know, for artists, it's actually great because the NFTs, they're just digital goods, right? So like, you guys, when you list something, you sell something, it's no different than if it was baseball cards. So you get to avoid a lot of that stuff.
Sure. That's very interesting. So like, do you have some concern investing in these things that at some point they're going to fucking get shut the fuck down?
Not really. Not.
Why not?
Because the protocols themselves, like, even if you turned off the website, it could just be mirrored anywhere else. Kind of like, what's the browse, you know, the viewing one? Yeah, like Torrent. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, it could just, anybody could run it, any of these protocols. And that's kind of the idea of a decentralized system in the first place. You know, in the U.S., people are worried about regulators, but in some places, they're worried about, like, dictators and censorship and, you know, state-run stuff where it's, like, it's like a righteous fight, you know, whereas in the U.S., it's like we just want to have access to products so that we can make money type of fight right now.
Just jackasses here. Yeah. These greedy motherfuckers here.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, that's very interesting. So which one of these things do you think is like the best one, or like which one, what are we really bullish on here? Let's give some very hard and real specific financial advice.
Go for it, Kobe.
Hmm. This is the one where, like, how come I'm going to be the person that ends up in jail? Yes. Yes. Get around it. And it's like, Kobe, now.
You go first. You go first.
Financial advice. I think the things you should buy are the things that I already own and want to sell higher.
Well, of course. What are those things? You don't have to say what people should buy. Just what do you like?
100% of my portfolio is in Beeple NFTs, so I'm all in, mate.
I'm
in Beeple NFTs and hash masks. That's all I've got. That's all I've got.
Yeah, what did y'all think about the regenerative stuff like hash masks or punks?
Next question, please. No, I like crypto punk. I think that's very good. I'm concerned a little with hash masks, and I want to see all these things succeed. Like, I don't want to see anything fail, obviously. The only thing I'm concerned with hash masks is it's a lot of supply. Like, there's a lot of hash masks out there. And to be honest, I don't really know what's going on with the, like, like puzzles and stuff that they're doing. I haven't been following that closely. You know, that could be like an interesting, you know, aspect to it that sort of like keeps it going. It got very popular very fast. And, you know, it definitely.
You know, that's mostly Kobe's fault. Like, he started.
You were pumping that shit?
Yeah.
It was Cryptopathic's fault. It was Path's fault.
Yeah, it's Path's fault, our last guest. And they started doing it around here, like 0.5 ETH. And, you know, then everybody's like, every degenerate on Twitter is like, well, I got to get some too. And you can only get 20, so I at least got to get 20. And
it went ape shit. Are people like changing the name thing? Is like the name thing kind of a still big aspect of it?
I don't think that's actually, that part of it's really working very well.
Yeah,
the
I think
token that, thing, I thought that was like the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that like kind of died. I think like it was popular at the very beginning, but then everyone took all the good names. And now you've got, like, what are you going to change its name to? It's done. I don't think hash masks are particularly problematic, and I think they've done some cool stuff. I still own many hash masks. Can we stop footing hash masks, please? But the thing that I think there's going to be a lot of copycat, rent-seek, hash mask clone projects.
There is about to be an insane amount of those. There is about to be an insane amount of those. I guarantee you in the next 6 months, there is going to be so
many. Oh, they're already there. I had, like, I don't even know how many people try to tell me I should buy something called Bull Run Babes. And I was like, no.
Bull Run Babes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just like it's like an alternative for doing an ICO, isn't it? You just raise loads of money to sell a thing. I think it's the second, like, this clone hash masks trend is the second worst trend in NFTs, where the worst trend is like stray celebrities coming in for their crumbs of ETH, like Lindsay Lohan coming in like, here's my Bitcoin Lightning Network NFT. And it's like, okay, well, like, you're using Ethereum, so why have you got Bitcoin Lightning Network NFT? Like, also, This address has got loads of ETH in it, and it's like been using Aave and Compound for the last few years. I'm pretty sure that's not Lindsay's address.
Did y'all see what the B1 Chad guy? You know him? I think he owns some of your stuff.
Oh yeah, XB1. We got a shout out to XB1.
Well, did you see what he did with Lindsay Lohan's NFT?
I know him well. Did he burn the token?
He burned it because it had royalties associated to it. So he just bought it and burned it so that she couldn't get the royalties from it, which is freaking great.
Oh, 10% or whatever? That's funny. Yeah, no, I saw he burned that. He burned that Cuban token.
Yeah, he burned was that Top Shots or a different one from Mark Cuban that he did?
No, it's just like, I'm pretty sure it was just like a fucking thing of Mark Cuban.
Him dancing. So there was no association with Top Shots even with that.
I do not believe so. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure like Mark Cuban just like posted a video of himself like dancing on Rarible. Like, I don't know. Like, and then he like bought one of them or bought one of the series or whatever and like burned it.
That's awesome.
A bunch of them or something. I don't know.
I wonder how much the NFT of you doing the dance on stream, that you just cloned the dance. I wonder how much the NFT okay, you doing that's going to go for.
Let's see how much this thing is.
It's going to be minted in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, it's definitely interesting. And that's one thing I definitely, you know, I'm worried about with these celebrities coming in this, like, just super half-assed money grab garbage way, you know. It's kind of, it just makes the whole space look kind of like, meh. And, you know, obviously I think everybody, the good part about it is the space is already mature enough to realize like those things are just complete bullshit money grabs. So they don't get very far. And they're just kind of, you know, obviously more of a joke. So that's good. But yeah, it's definitely, you know.
What platforms do y'all like in terms of like, which marketplaces are doing a good job and which ones suck and what needs to be improved there?
My biggest thing with the marketplaces is, and I told all of the marketplaces this, and I'm very, very, I'm going to be a broken fucking record. It's going to be like, people shut the fuck up about this, but I'm going to keep fucking saying it, is that they need to accept payments in credit cards and make this shit as easy as possible. People are like, having to pay in ETH is like insane. It's like it's insanity. Like, it's so complicated. Like, and people in this space who've been in it and they've been, you know, fucking balls deep in crypto for how many years, they're like so out of touch with like the real world and how insanely complicated it is to pay in Ethereum. It sounds like you agree with
Yeah, me. People pleaser, what's your take on
like
that?
You might be a human and you haven't gone full degen yet. Hang on to your humanity. Hang on to your humanity.
Yeah, I think I've been sort of experiencing this transition where, you know, having like a regular job and getting paid in USD and then suddenly like my job is crypto now, and then now all of my income is in crypto. And like, I don't know, recently I found like an OTC guy where I just like kind of sketchy, but like, it's like the sort of one of the fastest ways to like off ramp your crypto is like, I meet up with him. Like, we have like a time and location. It's like a drug deal.
I worry for your safety right now.
Wait. What the fuck are you talking about? I don't even understand what you're talking about at all. Like, a real person?
Yeah, so, I mean, I wish there were easier ways to do this, like a credit card that would just allow me to spend my crypto instead of...
Well, there's like, definitely better ways than meeting up with some rando.
Whoa. Okay, wait, back it up. What?
Yeah,
okay,
they just give you cash for your crypto.
No.
Am I not allowed to say this on stream? Am I going to get arrested?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I think the dude giving you the cash might get arrested.
Yeah.
Wait, why is somebody giving you cash? Wait, who? Okay, wait a second. When you meet up with this person, let's back it up for a second. When you meet up with this person, you're talking about real life.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we meet on the internet, on the metaverse.
So in real life, you're meeting up with a person to do what?
Oh, I send him my crypto and then he gives me cash.
So why don't you just take your crypto and take it into like Coinbase or some shit and just like,
oh, because I'm cash. I'm in Taiwan right now, so.
Oh, so you can't do that?
I can't do that.
I need outlawed there?
Well, I don't know, but I also, it's like for Taiwan dollars, so it wouldn't, like Coinbase would like go to my US account, for example, so.
Okay. You know, in the UK, that makes the more UK sense. Is... Oh, yeah, you're definitely going to be going to jail.
No, yeah, actually, I read this article. Oh, sorry. Like this news article about this woman in Hong Kong who did something like this for like $400,000 in cash and then like got robbed or something. So
yeah, like, not I would super be safe. Very careful with that. That definitely seems like, I don't know, like take
a yeah so to reflect on your point
with you
I totally agree like
Taiwan
I wish it was easier for us to spend crypto. Like I think hopefully, you know, with Tesla accepting Bitcoin as like a payment is like a first step for all of the other companies to be like, okay, well, since they're doing this, we can also do this type of thing. So yeah, that I don't have to risk my life when I want some cash.
I heard Nifty Gateway actually accepts fiat, and that's like they're trying to bring in all of these like high end people. Is that a little better? Have y'all worked with them? I know it's the Winklevii guys, so I don't know if that's ideal or not, but.
Yeah, so Nifty, actually, I've only done two drops. So, you know, and I just came into this space like 4 months ago. Middle October, people kept hitting me up, dude, you got to check out this NFT stuff. You got to check out this NFT stuff. So finally, I kind of was like, looked at it and it's like, oh my God, this is like freaking crazy. People are like, this is, you know, really like something here, whatever. And so, so I've really only done two drops and they were both on Nifty. And then, and Nifty accepts credit card. That was part of the reason that I wanted to do it with them is because I knew like my audience, you know, sort of, I don't know what the fuck this shit is like. And so I was like, okay, if I'm going to try and bring in my audience and sort of educate them on this stuff, which I thought was, I think is really cool. And is very much like the future of sort of like digital art and, you know, or at least a piece of the future of digital art. That it's like, okay, like I need to make this as easy as possible. And so that's where I'm very sort of like, you know, the crypto piece of NFTs, like the more that sort of complexity is hidden in the background, because to me, it doesn't really have anything to do with like crypto. It's just the blockchain is the mechanism by which this works. And like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't really give a fuck how credit cards work. You put the fucking thing into the vending machine, you get your candy bar, you shoot your candy bar in your mouth. You're not like, wait a second, what fucking like IP stack did that credit card go through to like, blah, blah, blah. You don't give a fuck. Like, so, you know, that's why I'm very much like, okay, let's make this as simple as possible. Like, and I look at like Amazon, the insane amount of money and optimization. I mean, Amazon spends tens of millions of dollars to remove like one click from their buying process. When you have to buy something in Ether, you're literally like adding 60 billion clicks, like versus a credit card. Like it is insane. And you are basically like giving people like a homework assignment. It's like a multi-day process. Oh, you got to go to your bank. You got to freaking transfer money to Coinbase. You got to understand MetaMask. You got to install a Chrome extension. You got to dig into wallets. Like it is insanely complicated to the average person. So I'm very much like, okay, NFTs are cool. They're great for proving ownership. That's it. Like that's the money piece of it is like, if you want to like the crypto piece of it is fine, but it doesn't really have anything to do with the like utility of NFTs to a large degree, or at least for the things that, you know, I'm interested in doing and interesting in sort of bringing in more people. So I'm very much pushing these platforms to at least allow credit card payments and sort of have the prices of everything also be in real dollars and not freaking internet nerd money that nobody knows what the fuck it is or like what the value of it is today or, you know, this morning or this afternoon or whatever, because it's so fucking volatile. So, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to make this stuff as easy as possible to be able to like onboard like a shitload of people to this stuff.
Does this mean when you sell your work, do you convert the ETH back to, back to dollars trading?
You were going to ask this, you son of a bitch. I knew you were going to ask this. I'm a son of a bitch. No, so when I did that drop, the drop in December, and I made $3.5 million, it just went into my Nifty account. And so, like, it just kind of went into, like, a balance there. And I could... Son of a bitch, you made me say it. I could have like immediately transferred it to a Gemini account, which I did not have set up at that time. Or I could just have them wire me the money. And so I didn't I kind of dragged my feet and, you know, didn't really do anything. And in that time, Ethereum went like fucking up, like doubled. It's like literally could have fucking doubled that goddamn money if I would have just converted it to Ethereum, you son of a bitch. It's too soon.
Welcome to crypto.
Yes. So I got fucking... goddamn.
You need to be following Crypto Cobain and follow the up only mantra, right? You know, just he would have been your spirit animal to.
You need to respect the pump.
Yeah. Look, it's only $3.5 million.
Goddamn it. So I like a total freaking simp, goddamn, cashed it out to freaking fiat and then put it into like, you know, then fucking opened a Gemini account. Like now I've got it and I'm putting it in and I'm on the freaking train. I'm on the pump train. So yeah, it took a while to get there. It took some pain. It took some pain to get there. I had to learn the hard way.
Okay. So if you're on the train now, what bags do you hold? What's your portfolio? What are your crypto tips?
So I was always before this very actually interested in like investing and stuff, but I was interested in super boring stuff, you know, compared to you guys and your freaking sushi and your freaking Aves and your freaking Dodge coins and your freaking weed coins. So like I was just like, you know, put a bunch of money in like index funds and just boring shit. Cause like, I don't know, I'm an adult. And so like, I invested in adult shit. And so like I was invested in like just, you know, boring stocks and still most of my money is in, you know, pretty sort of, that's freaking sweet. most of my money is in, you know, pretty sort of, you know, not crazy shit. So the money that I have in crypto is I just put half in Bitcoin and half in Ethereum.
Degeneracy.
I don't know. The other ones are, they're too crazy. And plus nobody, although I mean, I've gotten advice from people who were not too chicken shit to actually give advice. No offense to you guys. And all of those people's advice has gone up a fucking massive amount since they told me that, oh yeah, put it in Polkadot. It's just fucking like three times. Oh yeah, Chainlink is pretty good. Just so I can smash this. God damn it. So yeah, I've been freaking.
People pleaser. Are you more degenerate than people over here?
Being that I work with degenerate people, then yes, definitely.
So what, give us your bags, show your bags.
I'm actually quite similar to people. I play it a little bit safe, so I think I have about like 40% Bitcoin, 40% Ethereum, and I have 20% of my portfolio in alts. And I try to sort of cycle around, but you know, some like oftentimes I look into the projects that I'm working with too, and if I think that they are a good project and stuff, I'll like hold some. So it depends, but my alts shift around like more quickly. So like, you know, but I have like currently like some Aave, Sushi, I have some Uni as well. I sold recently RGT and SFI, and then they literally like tripled, like both of them, like within, cause like I sold it cause I was like, oh yeah, I made profit. This is awesome. And they both like tripled like within like a week after I sold or something.
Yeah. I still don't really know much about RGT, but from where I was looking at it to where it is today, it went like 20x. So I'm pretty pissed off. Some of these have been, pretty insane. Yeah, it was like 30 cents when I was looking at it at the lows, and now it's $12. So,
oh my god,
jeez, what is the market cap of that?
I don't know. I can't look at it now because I missed on that. It makes me sad.
Yeah, it's just pain.
And this is what I'm supposed to do in the world, you know, like I'm supposed to know about this stuff.
So, okay, so you guys who are all freaking, you know, degenned out or whatever. Are you trading this stuff like every single day, like moving money around?
We probably are a little different, but both of, or I'm a swing trader, meaning I could have something for 2 days or like 2 months, but I'm going to be trading fairly frequently, right? Because
how many trades would you say you make on average per day?
Per day, maybe like one.
No, okay.
Yeah, same for me. One between like 0.5 and 3, depending on the day. If it's like a busy day, though, you can get up to like 20.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get in the flow, you get like this autotelic state where you become the market and everything's just fucking flowing, dude. And you're just smashing out of the park. Then you look at your balance and you've got no money left.
I just want to just go back to that quote there. You become the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like you become the market. You know, like when you're with your partner and you're intimate and you know, you're going and you okay. just become one.
Go ahead and the just two stop you right there, dude. Together.
It's like, that's what I'm like, but with the market.
Jesus Christ, guys.
All right.
Brought to you by Blockfolio.
Yeah. Hey. And don't forget, y'all have to come up with a competition. What you want the chat to do for the $2,000?
Oh lordy,
people. To your point though, I was listening to one of your interviews, and you're talking about the everydays, and like some days you got it, and some days you don't. But you know you put it out there every day anyway. You do some art every day. Trading has similar setups, you know, like it doesn't click with you, or the charts just, you know, they don't speak to you the same, or there's not the same kind of action.
So let's go back to, okay, so you're making a couple trades. Where are you seeing this stuff, what to trade?
Got to keep your ear close to the ground, I guess. It depends on if it's a high cap like Sushi or Uni or like some of the ones that have gotten more mainstream. They individually, like, you know, are, you can chart them individually, but they also are correlated. They move together a bit. But there might be some news-based events, like the bento box is coming out or something like that, which is like a product for Sushi or...
People Please is celebrating that. That was this little celebration.
Oh, it's just because I made the video for it.
So yeah. And I...
Wait, what is this bento box?
No one knows. The thing with crypto is, like, the point when you have to learn what it is.
No,
yeah, the point when you have to learn when what it does, what it is, that's, you only learn when you've lost money. You just went bento box, that sounds fucking sick. I want the bento box, I'm going all in bento box. And if you go all in bento box and then you lose your money, then you've got to learn what it is. Like, oh, I've lost my money, what does this fucking thing do? And then you go like read about it, like, oh shit.
Oh my god, no, you freaking morons. Okay. Okay. Goddamn, this is freaking Jesus Christ, you only learn what it is. Wait, okay, so you made this bento box thing that this freaking idiot doesn't even know what the hell it is, but is very excited about?
I know what it is because I interviewed the team, but it, you don't have to know what things are. You just have to, you, for people that are,
don't, if, know how, what the fuck does that even mean? You because, don't have to know what things are.
Look, so a chart,
it's got a people pleaser video, it's going up. Bento box has got a people pleaser video, so I'm going all in. That's all you need to know. That's how I trade.
I think charts are their psychology written out in the chart itself, right? So human psychology plays out. You know, something goes down, 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 and people puke it. And some of these things,
the chart's just there to scare you. Forget about it. It's going up. We don't give a shit. It's going up. There's a fucking people video. Don't do any research. Research is just, everything's there to scare you. Everything's there to take away your freedom. It's going up. That's all you need to know. There's only one direction in this market.
This is how Kobe became a paper billionaire.
Can we get some up only in the chat, please?
Yeah, we need some.
I feel like you guys need one of those air horns or some stuff.
Yeah, I don't have enough sound effects loaded up. All I have is like,
you definitely need a soundboard.
Yeah, like, when all that goes wrong though, you know, like you just get tackled to the ground.
That's pretty good. Okay. Let's just pause on that stupidity for a second. Let's go to the chart thing. So when you're looking at these charts, that is very interesting to me. Like, what exactly are you looking for? And please explain this in layman's terms, not in freaking degen pump or dump terms.
Yeah. So any chart is just telling you what the price of something is over time.
Well, I know what a fucking chart is.
Yeah, I know. But psychologically, people get scared or they get euphoric if they are at a loss or in a profit. So theoretically, if the all-time high of Ethereum back from early 2018 was $1,350, when it makes a new high, which took 3 years, people were depressed this whole time, especially because most of those new people entered when it was at its hottest, right? Like the late dumb money. And so they're either underwater or like gradually capitulating throughout this. And until they are just completely depressed, it cannot go up. And then by the time it's ready to go up, then once you make a new high, then you hit like price exploration and everybody's happy. It's a bull market. All the people that didn't convert their $3.5 million into Ethereum to make $7 million are furious. They're furious with themselves. And then they FOMO because now it's $2,000 and they're like, it's going to $4,000. And then it goes down and they're like, now my $3.5 million is $1.5 million and I'm depressed and I'm going to sell it. And all of that psychology of human emotion and trading plays out in the chart. And you can, you know, I'm on a weekly chart, but you can put it on like an hourly chart and have the same type of conversations. And over time, you kind of learn how to play.
The problem that I don't understand is the chart is looking backwards. And that is not really necessarily an indicator of future performance.
Yes and no.
Wow, a lot of silence there.
Yes and no.
It's a heavy pause. That was a heavy pause.
There are some percentages. There are some high probability plays, but it's never going to guarantee that something will perform in a certain way. But there are some things that you can look at that are historically helpful. So as an example, this was back in 2017, and Ethereum got really hot, but then it just like spends months. You know, this was June 2017 until November 2017, and it couldn't make a new high, right? It's like rejected, but the lows kind of get gobbled up. So this psychology becomes...
Oh, what do you mean the lows get gobbled up?
Well, when it dumps to $150, people finally started buying it. See, this is the volume. And then it kind of grinds up, but it gets rejected again. It goes back down. Well, now people are like, I don't think it's going to go as far back down. So now they're buying it by 220, and it kind of grinds back up. So this ends up becoming a chart pattern, which is what traders will use to try to increase their probability. Similar to when you're playing poker or something, it's like, okay, well, if I've got a 2 and a 7, it's shit. But if I've got jacks, I got a chance to win.
I never really understood the, like, this is a death cross or a golden triangle or a frickin', red. But I never really got a head and shoulders, whatever. Like, I never really understood. It just kind of seems like voodoo bullshit, if I'm being honest.
Well, it creates probabilities.
It's just like in life. You search through the past to find answers about the future.
Okay.
That's all trading is. It's like it's an a study of history, so you can find clues about what might happen next. You go look at a chart, you see this chart, and then you look at 10 million other charts. Have you seen the Avengers movie where Doctor Strange is sat there and he's like looking through the 16 million versions of the future to find out when they win? What you got to do is you got to find a chart, and then you got to look through 16 million versions of like other charts.
Just to be clear, you are getting investment advice from the fucking Avengers movie. I just want to be super clear on what we're fucking.
Yeah, dude, like that guy's a fucking wizard. Of course, I'm going to take investment advice from a wizard.
So Doctor Strange, we got that. Good.
The key here, though, is once one of these things plays out, then you just do it because other people are doing it, right? You FOMO. And that's what plays out in the chart itself.
Like, that's what you do.
Well, why do I buy hash masks? Or why, like, if there's a limited edition, you know, Beeple piece, like, what sets the price for into the ether or bull run? Like, there is a market that's psychologically at play there. And if the early bracketing for a piece of art is shit, if it's like, hey, this is $100, then it's going to take longer to get to $1,000 in people's terms of value. But if you come in and you hammer it with, say, $1,000 a piece, and, you know, people of influence or reviewers or the New York Times Arts Review or whatever, they're assigning additional value to it, then it's going to help bracket the art at a higher rate. And like that psychology is, it's up to people to make those decisions. But there's this, there's that subjectivism that's in anything, in my mind, when you're trying to value what it's worth. Because all of these are creative experiences. They're rarely like, oh, here's the time and energy throughput and, you know, the exact equation that goes into what this should be worth. It's more, what do people think it's worth?
Sure, but I guess you would hope at some point this is actually tied to the utility of these things instead of just like...
Yeah, but what makes like a growth stock worth 100 times its sales? You know, it's the expectation of the future profits of a growth stock, whereas a stock where like an Exxon maybe trades at like 10 times because there's a less expectation of growth.
Yes.
The more insane something is and brand new, like sushi and the bento box, the more wiggle room there is in terms of how people value it. So you could say, okay, well, this is a $1 billion protocol, or this is a $10 billion protocol. Which one is right? We don't freaking know. It's brand new. We're trying to figure it out.
I mean, one could argue, like, what's the utility of NFTs, right? Like, I think that's it's fair. Just demand drives up price, so.
Well, I guess I personally, that's an interesting point. I completely agree. I guess I personally put NFTs in a slightly different category because I think they are kind of more sort of pure speculation. Just because it's very subjective and it is purely kind of driven on the market. Whereas at least before, you know, historically, I know I'm the freaking boomer in the room here at fucking 39, you know, the valuation of a stock was tied to, is this company actually going to make fucking money? Like that was kind of how back in my old day, you damn kids, we valued stocks, you know, versus now it's just freaking the Twitter hype train. You know what I mean? That to me is the difference I see between like NFTs and like, you know, these actual companies or whatever that have coins or whatever associated with them.
I feel like the concept of stocks is quite similar to investing in cryptocurrencies, right? You know, in traditional stock market, you have the media, you know, as we can see with this whole GameStop frenzy lately, you know, everything is being manipulated as well. It's quite similar to what you would see of, you know, what you call the Twitter hype train. It's just people passing around information. You could do your own research and decide whether or not you believe that information. It's honestly really similar to how the traditional stock market works. I think the traditional stock market is probably less transparent because, you know, it's not all out in the open on the blockchain for people to view. And, you know, a lot of these DeFi protocols are open source, so you can go and see the code for yourself, like, you know, if you understand that kind of thing. Whereas for the stock market, you know, a lot of these companies are, you know, they're like all this kind of stuff that happens behind closed doors that you just don't know about unless you're a very influential hedge fund or, you know, some kind of entity. And then I think the second point about NFTs being pure speculation could also be viewed in a different way, because I think we're very early in the NFT space right now. And there's huge potential for NFTs to not only just be, you know, kind of like what it is now, but, you know, like things like, let's say World of Warcraft or something, you know, people are already trading things like in games and spending currencies like this already exists. So, you know, there's like, I've heard, I'm not sure, but like, you know, like Arweave, for example, is an up and coming sort of like place for NFTs to like, it's a better way to store metadata for NFTs as well. So it could
What was it?
Arweave.
Arweave. Okay.
Yeah. As opposed to Ethereum. And then, so, I mean, you know, I'm not like a PhD in this, so it's just like, don't take what I say too seriously. But I think there's a huge potential there as well, because like people are already spending so much money on like games. So, you know, NFT doesn't have to be a piece of art. It could be like a suit or, you know, like a special ability or something in a game that you care about or in like a metaverse, let's say. So in that sense, it's also not purely speculation and it has a lot of utility.
Sure.
I kind of like this too, because it's like the opposite of like Snapchat stories and crap where people are like, I only want this to exist for 24 hours and then disappear from the world. Whereas this idea of information permanence and records, I think, is extraordinarily valuable in a digital age, because like the Internet Archive, so much is lost over time. And when something can be tracked over time, I think that's fascinating, especially if you break it all the way down to like every bit of information on the web. But even for regular things, one of the things Cuban brought up, because he's all hyped on NFTs, was what if Mavs tickets were NFTs, where the Mavs themselves can have a record of every scalping, they can have a royalty basis for each ticket as it gets sent from one person to the other, the authenticity of the ticket can be verified. I think all of that is like really interesting non-art driven roles for NFTs, but sure. Art is a fantastic, art's a fantastic playground for it at the same time.
Yeah, no, I definitely 100% agree. I think there's tons of uses, and I think it's a very, you know, art is one use, you know, ticketing is another use, game items is another use, you know, virtual land is another use, you know, different domain names is another use. I mean, there's a million different sort of like uses for these things, and I think we've just barely scratched the surface of you know, what they could be or whatever. I was morally speaking to art NFTs being, in my eyes, largely speculative. I think everything is like a, at least this is the way I look at it, it's on a sliding scale of like, okay, what is the actual utility of this? How fucking useful is it? It's a fucking real hammer. Like, you can fucking use it to smash things, whatever. Or how much is it kind of like speculative? And that's kind of like, you know, art to me is a bit like, well, you're just buying a shiny object. Like, it's kind of whatever we say it is. It doesn't actually do anything for, like, human survival versus something that is very useful for human survival, like a piece of food or something. That's not speculative. I need food. Like, shit like that. So, you know, I think everything, to me at least, kind of is a balance between actual utility and sort of that. But it is very interesting to kind of, like, I don't know what does give something value and what does, you know, what percentage of it is speculation.
One of the things I wanted to ask y'all about, because I feel like there's a correlation between the drive and demand for art and also like crypto prices, is people trying to establish this store of value and like where can they park money? And it's like the fear of inflation or the fear of the reduction of the dollar's value. A rush to equities as well, like this Buffett indicators.
What is that Buffett indicator chart?
It's the stock market capitalization, like total stock market capitalization relative to GDP. So when it gets really high, it's basically saying stocks are like super valued relative to the actual GDP of the economy. But it's multiple things, right? It's a desire for speculation, but it's also a lack of trust in dollars themselves or like things that will earn low yield. And I feel like a lot of this is correlated. The stocks that are highly valued, art at all-time highs, consistently, crypto being hyped up. Do y'all think some of this is playing together? Are you making these correlations? And what's the purview of like the artist side of things? Because that's what I know the least about.
What do you think?
I just naturally thought that people would go first.
I'll go first. I definitely think crypto rising has sort of juiced the wheels or whatever, greased the wheels for like this, the art sort of like NFT boom. So I definitely think that's part of it. But I think it's also just a lot more people are sort of becoming aware of this even being a thing. I'm not sure how much the average person is who's buying this stuff is necessarily thinking about, you know, when they're buying a rare Pepe, how much this is, you know, indicative of the fucking, you know, historical value of the dollar relative to the GDP versus, you know, I don't think they're thinking about that shit. I think they're thinking, oh, cool, I can buy a GIF now. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's probably for a lot of people a little bit more, they're not quite thinking about it that closely like you are.
Did you just say GIF?
GIF? GIF? I say GIF. What?
You say, I'm also team GIF.
Why do you say, what do you say?
Wait, the two artists both say GIF. Chat, we need to consult whether it's GIF or GIF.
No, it's definitely.
The creator says it's GIF.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Wait a second. People said it's GIF, so I feel like...
I meant the creator of the
said it's like, GIF?
Of GIFs in general.
Gotcha. Yeah, I am not
100%. But I equally respect your opinion.
I thought you meant the creator just as in like the creator. Sure. No, sure. We'll say it again.
On like a macroeconomic perspective, right? We've got like a slowdown of wages, we have increasing wealth inequality, you have mass devaluation of major currencies globally. And I think people feel a little bit like they're trapped and they've got a little bit of liquid money. They've had their stimulus checks, or, you know, maybe they're lucky enough to like keep their job through the pandemic or whatever. But they don't have enough money to have the things that they want. Like house prices have gone totally nuts. The land prices have gone nuts. And then the US has decided, you know, let's increase money supply by 30%. We've got a problem. Let's print some money. That's the solution to all our problems for the last sort of 10 years. And then since the pandemic began and the March crash, it became sort of clear that for the next 10 or so years, the US, most major economies are just going to print their way out. And ever since, everything's gone nuts. Like equities have gone nuts. Crypto's like up like the whole market cap, I don't know, like 25x or something.
Yeah.
Collectibles are pumping. Pokemon cards are pumping. So I see NFTs as this sort of convergence between the crypto side of, you know, scarcity, digital ownership, entirely done, you know, on chain without a custodian. But also at the other side of like of non-digital collectibles, like Pokemon cards and like those figurines that people sort of collect. And I don't know, I'm not a collectibles guy, but CSGO skins, I know that's digital, but it's non-blockchain. Like those two things pumping at the exact same time in a macroeconomic environment where people are like, I've got a bit of money, I want to buy a house, I can't afford a house. With my wages, I'm probably never going to be able to afford a house. Maybe I should plow my money into like whatever. I'll put it into something and hope it goes up. Maybe if I make 10x, I might be able to buy a house. Maybe I'll be an options trader now, given that's what you know, sort of everyone is doing. I think that is the sort of macroeconomic scenario that generates this sort of buzz and excitement whatever volume for NFTs. But I don't think that it leaves the world in a very good place. Like, what is the end game? Like, everyone's mom can't be an options trader selling puts on like fucking buying calls for random companies. You can't all like Pokemon cards can't go up forever. Like, what is the end game to this? Like, how does this stop? Negative interest rates? What happens then? But yeah, like, I think the macroeconomic environment of those two things really, really, really sets the stage for digital collectibles. And I think art is one example of a digital collectible. But I think there's a ton of others that will sort of crop up and become more popular. I think we'll move into sort of an ownership economy where people will... like kind of like you're seeing a lot with crypto, right? So new crypto projects come out, early users are often rewarded with an airdrop or some ownership in the protocol for supporting it and being a user. If you provide liquidity to a system that helps the system operate efficiently, you become a co-owner in that system. And I think the traditional world will probably move in this direction to be a little bit more ownership economy driven. So where if you're interacting with and using a service or a real world business, you'll want to be an owner of that. You want to get something back. I mean, at least that's what I hope. I think that's the optimistic version of it. I think the pessimistic version of it is wealth divide increases further. They start adding wealth taxes. There becomes a real like vicious class issue between those that own the assets and those that will never be able to own the assets due to like global macroeconomic environment. Which basically ends up resulting in some kind of socialism through, you know, taxing, wealth taxing people's gains and blah, 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 blah. What were we talking about? How did we end up here? Can we look at some pretty pictures?
I don't even know what the hell we were talking about either. That was a pretty good epic monologue, though. You have me going.
Kobe's a doomer. And
yeah, I'm a doomer.
Crypto is an outlet for that. Like, if I'm being honest, like in the United States, I feel like we're kind of like you're just smashing on that debt, and I feel like we kind of think we can just kind of smash it on forever. And I feel like at some point that bill is going to come due, and I don't know what is going to happen at that point, but it probably won't be good.
Look, I'm slowly trying to buy all of Costa Rica. So I'm just buying up land plots in Costa Rica when possible. They have the highest happiness to GDP ratio in the entire world. So they're doing something right. And I'm going to take over. They've got loads of waterfalls. I'm trying to buy up all Costa Rica. And when the class war comes, hopefully like I'm keeping my shit beard and my shit clothes. I'm going to get a baseball bat and try and fit in with the others. Like, yeah, eat the rich. But if I manage to get out in time, then I'm going to Costa Rica. I'm going to move back to a barter-based system and live on some kind of self-established farm.
You've kind of given up your fucking,
the gig?
Yeah. Now I'm buying waterfalls in Costa Rica. Yeah,
I also own 1% of Portugal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how I see this kind of playing out. It's definitely interesting to see, especially, you know, obviously the GameStop thing. Like, it will be interesting to see the repercussions of that. Like, that definitely, I feel like, is going to be a very sort of pivotal moment that people come back to, especially with them shutting that down. It was just kind of like, what the fuck? Like, that is just... It's just so blatantly like, I don't know. It's just so blatantly like, yeah, no, we're just going to fuck with the rules. Go fuck yourself. Like, I don't know. Look,
all you got to do, chat, this is all you got to do. The next few years, you got to focus on getting into the capital for when the Hunger Games begin. Because the capital, they don't have to have any tributes. But you got to be in the middle city. You got all your plans towards the middle city, straight to the capital. We'll survive. We'll have Beeple, NFT. Tees on our walls, we'll be living good. People will be fighting and murdering each other and we'll cheer them on. Yeah, the gladiators are back.
Wait, so did they in the UK, did they do like a stimulus check like they did in the United States?
They did a furlough scheme where you could companies didn't need to make you redundant. They like encouraged companies to keep people on their jobs and the government paid all their wages. So mostly everyone got their entire wage every month as a stimulus check if their company needed to like downsize. So as far as that goes, like, you know, it went pretty well. We spent billions and billions and billions on it. But that was the part of the pandemic that I think we probably did okay on. We just totally fucked up everything else. Like, now there's like fucking cases like everywhere. If you go outside of your house, Boris Johnson's there with a sniper rifle, just like, get back inside. We're gonna fucking arrest you, dude. You can't do anything. You can't buy a knife online. We're regulated into the ground. I'm in a prison.
How is Taiwan?
Oh, it's great here. Like, people have pretty much a normal life. You can, like, go to clubs and stuff. I don't know what to say.
It's, like, totally fine.
It's pretty much fine, yeah. I mean, I think there was probably an outbreak of less than 10 cases, literally, like, you know, maybe a few weeks ago. And then everyone was freaking out. They were like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, we need to, like, shut the city down and stuff. And then, but now we're back to zero cases and it's fine, so.
So, like, nobody's wearing masks anywhere.
Oh, no, everybody's wearing masks. I mean, wearing masks has always been kind of in Asian culture anyway. It's kind of just out of consideration for others. Like, even if you have a cold or something, you just wear a mask so other people don't get it. And so it was already a habit that people had. And then people here dealt with SARS before as well. So it's not their first time, like, I think.
I think that gave Asia a significant advantage in, like, how to deal with all this crap. In the U.S., people were, like, unconvinced of the health benefits and then also, like, brought their liberties into it.
Oh, boy, don't you dare. Don't you dare tell me to put a face diaper on, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I think we kind of hit critical mass, though, in the States. Like, it's just a linear line down now between, like, the number of people vaccinated is now, like, more than the people that actually got COVID. And
wait. Isn't that exactly when Biden administration took over? It must be fake data.
Yeah. I'm on the fake New York Times as well. So, I mean, to be suspect. Yeah. Before we go, we've been on for about an hour. I have a couple things I really want to know from y'all. One is I am the biggest noob trying to understand art. There's some things that I like I have some old maps, you know, and I think those are cool, but, like, I don't know a lot about art, how to determine, like, what is good art. What are some, like, things that we could know to say, like, this is shit, or this is subjectively decent shit, or this is really high quality and it's, you know.
Dude, if you like your old maps, then go with old maps. I don't know. There's nothing. You like.
Nothing.
Do you like anything on this screen right now?
No.
Okay, well then who gives a shit? Just keep scrolling. Don't buy it. What the fuck? I don't know. Like, no good art. It's just fucking what you like. You know, I think beyond that, I mean, obviously there's some sort of value to certain things that's based on other factors, but, like, subjectively, like, it's just kind of like, I don't know.
Like, I like this because I think it calls out the absurdity of the banana. Like, that was one of those stories where I'm like, okay, like, that's cute.
Also, Buzz is looking pretty hot.
Yeah, Buzz looks good there.
It's just, I don't know. To me, it's just, like, whatever you like, that's good. If you like old maps, cool. I don't know. That's no better than anything else. No better or worse than anything else. I personally feel like all art is completely 100% subjective. There's no right or wrong answers. Literally just taste. Now, value, again, that is sort of much more driven by the market and things like that, and there's a bunch of other, like, factors there, but just in terms of what's good, I don't know. Nothing's good.
Do Beeple, do you, either of you, own other artist NFTs?
I own a few, yeah.
Would you bid on this one?
Shams. I don't really. So people gave me NFTs. Honestly, I'm not. I just don't have that much of a, like, collecting mindset. Like, I have no art on my walls at all. Like, I am just, like, not. I don't have never collected anything. I'm just so focused on, like, making my own shit that it's like, okay, other people's stuff is, like, you know, I enjoy it, but I just don't. It doesn't, like, bring me any more joy to, like, own it. Like, it's kind of, I don't know, like, I don't have, like, a collecting mindset, like, at all.
My other big question I wanted to ask is if you could talk about the B20 and, like, what's happening with that collection. And I find it interesting that it's, you know, it's tradable. What's the deal there?
So the B20, just to kind of totally go back for people who kind of have no idea what that is in December, I had the 2020 collection drop, and there was 2021 single edition everydays, and each one was like an everyday, and then the last one was like kind of like a compilation of all 20 or whatever. And so it ended up one guy bought all of the like 20 single editions or whatever, and he did it in secret. Like he set up a bunch of
wallets
and stuff, and like tricked everybody. And it's this guy Metacoban, and so he, after that, he, and you know, it was like everybody's like, wait, what the fuck? This one guy got all of them. And he kind of like, you know, tricked everybody throughout the like weekend. People were suspecting it a little, but I don't think anybody knew that he had gotten all of them. And so afterwards, he did that for a very specific reason. Afterwards, he took those 20 NFTs and he built museums for them in like Decentraland and Somnium Space and Crypto Voxels, and I think one other one, maybe like Sandbox or something like that. And he like made museums for him, bought this land, made museums for it, and then he took all of that and locked it into a smart contract and made 10 million shares. And that's the like B20 token. And so my understanding is even he can't get the like NFTs out of the contract without sort of buying the whole thing out. And there's kind of like, you know, it sort of triggers a thing and then people can vote on it or this or that. So it's sort of, these NFTs are locked in this contract or whatever. So that's what's sort of backing the token.
Yeah.
And so it has obviously, since the announcement of the Christie's thing, gone fully ape shit. And it has, yeah, just been like crazy. So these 20 NFTs that he bought for a total of $2.2 million is now, what's it at now?
It's 490, and there's 10 million of them, so
$49 million.
Yeah, $49 million. So, yeah. What did you get out of that? You got the initial auction, right?
So he gave me 2% of it, of the like tokens or whatever.
Oh wow!
Kind of like baked into the like thing or whatever. So yeah, that's like $1 million is my like, you know, from that at like $50 or whatever. So. The whole thing is like, honestly, I haven't really told that many people about it. Like, obviously, your sort of users understand things like that. But I haven't really told that much of my audience about it, just because it's like, okay, I'm just one thing at a time. Let's just get the NFT thing started. That's already kind of weird. It's kind of, you know, it's a little, yeah, it's a new thing. And then it's like, okay, then there's this other crazy thing, even more abstracted, that it's like so complicated to understand that it's like, you know, it's like, okay, we'll get to that at some point, but not now. That's too much too soon. So I kind of haven't really sort of talked about it too much, like with my, you know, sort of like fan base or whatever, just because again, it's complicated. I barely fully understand it. I literally have no idea how to even buy that token, even if I wanted to. Like, literally do not know how to buy it. Like, what I would need to click on or where I would even go to buy it. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it's at. But I think it is, I at first, to be honest, I was very like, wait, what? Because he told me on like a Zoom call, and I was actually pretty against it. It was just like, wait, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I don't know, dude. I don't like that. Like, I don't think you should do that. And he's like, you know, kind of like, you know, I won't do it if you don't like it, but oh, fuck, I gotta go in a sec here. But yeah, I was like, kind of came around, and then now I see, like, you know, I think he was doing it in a very sort of thoughtful way and not in like a, you know, pump and dump way. And I think he was right, because he unlocked a shitload more value. So I was clearly very wrong. And so, you know, I think it's an interesting sort of, you know, kind of formula moving forward. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, I'm down to help. Like, I want to see it succeed, even if I was kind of like, you know, I don't really fully want you to do this. It's definitely, obviously, in my best interest to see this succeed. So I think it's one of those things, like, moving forward, like, you know, I'm down to, like, do some things for like token holders, and like there will definitely be sort of additional kind of like benefits for the token holders that I would like to do. You know, we haven't discussed anything super concrete, but like, you know, it's definitely something that I want to see succeed, and I think is a really cool experiment that, you know,
awesome.
I'm glad to be a part of.
People pleaser, what's your take on like bringing liquidity to NFTs?
I'm all for bringing liquidity to anything crypto. So yeah. I imagine we have a future where everybody's comparing their net worth in crypto and then not in fiat anymore. That would be nice.
But in what crypto?
Bitcoin. Except for
you to decide.
It's very interesting. I don't know who I was talking. I was talking to somebody and they were talking about like in the early, they were kind of comparing this crypto now that there's all these coins and this one's worth this much and I'll trade you some sushi for some friggin' B20 and then you got the friggin' Aave. And they were talking about how that was like somewhat similar to the beginning of like money in the United States, like in the like, you know, 1700s or whatever, like people would have all these weird coins that they were like trading and like nobody knew what they were worth. And it's like, okay, I need my horse. Like I'll trade you this horse for like 10 of these things. And like, they kind of have no idea what the fuck those things came from because they came from somebody in Virginia and they took them up to Maine and now they, okay, well, I've got 15 of these. Like, okay, well, I'll give you 7 of those for like 6 of these. And like, they were just kind of blindly trading like hundreds of different coins before there was like a dollar.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, I thought, you know, such a very interesting analogy to kind of like a little bit where we are now with this and in terms of like, a million different sort of like coins being traded. Guys, I got to bounce to a meeting here, but definitely super cool to like be on this and, you know, very interesting. And I definitely learned a lot here.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for coming, dude.
And yeah, we'll catch you next time. Everybody follow Beeple's work. You can do it at Beeple on Twitter and then Beeple. You changed. Oh, okay. The everydays are at beeple-crap.com. Okay. good website. So thanks for joining us, and y'all make sure you keep up with his stuff.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
People pleaser, if you're going to be on for another minute, I would love to learn a little bit more on the side of things that you look at, like. Especially like making art for projects. So it's mostly client work that you're doing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly should dive into NFTs more. I don't really ever like sell or drop NFTs. I should, but I like to like leave more time for client work these days. I mean, if I had more time, I would do both. But yeah, basically what I do currently is just that I collaborate with all of these DeFi protocols. And outside of DeFi as well, actually. And then we come up with like video memes to sort of create hype for any like upcoming announcements or, you know, just or general awareness, doesn't matter. I mean, I really like it because they honestly, like all of my clients are great. They give me creative freedom. And then we just try to make it like a fun, engaging experience for the community, I guess, because, you know, a lot of times I think ads are like really boring, or they could also be, you know, like explainer videos have their own sort of like utility, but you know, my videos aren't they're not meant to like tell, it's just like how people is like, oh, I don't know what sushi does from this video, like that's not the point of the video. It's just to sort of like catch your attention, and then, you know, if you're like really interested in knowing about it, you would go read the white paper or something, you know. So it's kind of just like a supplement to the like announcements themselves. And currently I'm working on something that I can't talk about, but it's a big announcement and I'm really
just
excited
whisper.
About it.
Just whisper yeah. to me.
If whisper you whisper it, me, the stream doesn't anyone. Even hear.
But yeah, it's a big announcement. So I'm excited. I think everyone will like it.
Nice.
And it's, so, yeah.
Can we pay you to make a introduction to this show,
yes,
where there's like a small pixelated me.
And when he says "can we pay you," he means "can he pay you?"
Well, you're gonna have to add it to the list. I actually made this like Google form. I also need to like make a website or something, but it's just like I like don't have a lot of time these days. But yeah, I made like a Google form recently. It's just like a survey to sort of like keep organized, because I mean, I'm sure Kobe gets like way more DMs than I do, but I'm having a hard time like keeping track of them. And then, you know, when I ignore them for a day, like, you know, the next day I wake up with more, and then it makes me even more like stressed out that I haven't. So I feel like right now I'm working on a better way to manage like the requests that are coming in. But yeah.
Why don't you get Crypto Gains 1 from Twitter to be an unpaid intern? He's looking for work. He's trying to get onto the job ladder.
Yes.
There's also
Wait, I think he's no, that account's gone. I think he's Gainsy 5 now.
Gainsy 5.
Oh, he's upgraded.
He got banned. You could call it upgraded.
He's 5 times better now.
By his tweet archives being gone, it's definitely an upgrade.
I think he got banned from all the incel tweets.
Yeah. So are you available for hire in any capacity, or are you just like totally booked up with the people that you're already working with?
I mean, like, I'm always accepting new requests, and then, you know, I'll go through them like when I have time, and then sort of prioritize like either based on how like legit the product is, or you know, their budget, or you know, things like this. But yeah,
And we need help giving away $2,000 still. So
oh shit, I totally forgot. Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget. He just he ran out of time, but that's okay, because People Pleaser is going to help us out. So I hope you've been thinking about what you want chat to do for $2,000. Your demands can be pretty severe. They're going to need to go to uponly.tv/blockfolio and download it, because they'll need to give me an Ethereum address to receive their reward. But for you to pick the winner, you just have to have it could be a task. So far, we've had Path got investment advice on what's the best NFT to purchase, and he chose his favorite. Another was to draw their pet and then take a picture of the drawing where their pet was holding the drawing. And another was a haiku, which is by far the worst. I don't recommend poetry. So that can be some inspiration for what you choose.
I don't know. Kobe, do you have any ideas?
All right. So I used to do this by myself, and my favorite one was I got people to take a photograph with their mother while putting spoons and forks, cutlery between your fingers, kind of like your Wolverine. I liked that one. That one was pretty good. Also, I went back and looked at that recently, because I gave away like, I think I gave away like $10,000. But the price of Bitcoin was like $1,000. I went back and like all the people I gave the money to, they all cashed it out. They did not ride the train to greatness. They could have bought a house or some shit. But it's not very inclusive to people who do not live with their parents. So,
but everybody does have spoons, so you know.
Yeah, I think what might be good, but I don't think we'll get any entries, is if people have to send a video of themselves downing a pint of milk. I would like to see that, but I just think we won't get many entries.
I would like to see it, but like slurping the pint of milk, like out of a bowl.
Yeah, I still don't think we'll get many entries.
Or we could be like people drinking milk out of the most creative container they can come up with.
I don't think people want to go on video and dox themselves very often, especially on crypto Twitter. Someone in chat said they thought this was. I'm going to look at chat, and I'm going to pick the best challenge selected by chat. So chat, you get to pick the thing that you have to do to get the $2,000. I'm going to start reading it now.
All right. So I have more. How much do you play in the NFT side of things? Do you do that part, or are you more doing custom art for projects?
So far, I've only had the bandwidth to do custom art. Like the stuff that's on my Instagram, most of it hasn't like ever dropped yet. Or anything.
Wait, sorry to interrupt. Someone in chat said, photograph with a banana taped to your belly.
That's a good one.
What about just the redo of the banana tapage, but like they can put it in any creative place they decide. It doesn't have to be to their belly. But.
Yeah, but the one that tapes it to the belly is gonna win. So all right, yeah, this is it. You have to recreate the famous banana art. You tape a banana anywhere, just
anything, send us a photo of
banana taped. To like your wall, to your dog, to your belly. We don't care. are we doing two winners or one winner?
We can do two $1,000 winners or one $2,000 winners. People
let's pleaser. Let's see what chat says. Chat, one winner or two winners? $1,000 for two people or $2,000 for one person?
Everybody's saying two.
Yeah, I'd say two.
All right, two $1,000 winners. They are taping a banana to something in their living place. So,
Ledger, how did they submit their submissions?
You actually have to at @UpOnlyTV on Twitter
and Blockfolio.
Yeah, and mention Blockfolio with your banana picture. They'll love it.
Blockfolio social media manager is going to be like, for fuck's sake. You have to, all right, wait. You have to tag Blockfolio, UpOnlyTV, and Crypto Gainsy5. Gainsy5, UpOnlyTV, and Blockfolio. Otherwise, your entry is not included.
And you definitely need to be subscribed to UpOnlyTV on Twitch. And follow on Twitter so that you see all of our streams. Let's take a moment while people start coming up with their ideas, and let's continue shilling our brand. And People Pleaser, I have to apologize. I said featuring Beeple because Kobe doesn't tell me who he's got coming on the show until like 5 minutes ahead of time. So
that was totally. I like joked to Kobe too. He was like, "Oh, Beeple's also going to be a guest on this episode. Is that okay?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm too big for this. Like, come on,
not sharing that stage. I have my own episode."
if you don't have a banana, you can draw a banana, or you can use any fruit, but you will be at a significant disadvantage.
Yeah, unless it's a really good drawing, or if it's like, like if you do a banana out of construction paper, like if it's really, you'd work really hard to make a fake banana, maybe you get your points back. So uponly.tv, we built a website. You can see the archives all the way back to the original stream that we did with BitLord and Marin the TikTok Witch, and last week with Path. So there's a website. There's ways to keep up now. There's audio versions of the show. We've put all this together recently, and you can find it all at uponly.tv, and sub to, you know, Twitch and Twitter and all that crap there too. So make sure y'all check all that out so that you keep in touch, because we built whole new channels for all this stuff, and it'll be in podcast apps and everything soon. It might already be in Spotify, but, wow, what's that?
I did also bring a gift for Kobe, which is just like commemorative. Like, I'm not here to shill anything. It's not for sale. but yeah, it's just like an art that I made, which is me chilling by the pool, which is a giant Nintendo Switch, because like that's one of my favorite things.
Can you link it? Can you link it to me so that I could put it larger on the stream?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not on the web, but
it's like a Dropbox.
Sure. So good. Yeah, and then glasses. This is like just Kobe's art. I mean, Beeple's art.
That's awesome.
On the magazine.
How many of them are you minting?
Two, but they're not for sale.
That's so sick. Thanks so much.
Oh. Okay, let me.
Nah, I broke everything. All right. Yeah, if you send it to me.
You know, someone's done the milk thing.
Somebody already did the milk.
Someone did the milk thing.
Do you even have notifications, Kobe, on the... Did you log into the Up Only Twitter to...
I just did it on search.
Okay, something for the chat.
Someone's strapped a banana to their dog, and the dog's like, bro.
So Somebody got
can I participate too?
Yeah, yeah, you can totally participate. These are pretty good. Oh, somebody put a banana on a boot in a sushi hut.
Someone's done one on a bear. I know I like bears.
This one's good. Hold on. I gotta figure out how to search for these so that I can show the stream the entries. To Up Only TV. I think that does it. Here we go. They put the banana on their milk carton while drinking it. Oh boy. I don't know what that was. I like this guy. That's good. That's quality. Oh. Here you go. They put a banana on the stream of Buzz with Banana. That's nice.
Okay, the sleep close death one is pretty good. I think I like that's a contender for me.
Where you gotta link it to me.
That's just a banana peel.
With Up Only. Wow. I mean, we did a logo design, but we might have to rethink it. That's awesome.
All right. So, people pleaser, you got to pick. You got to pick. You're the guest. You have to pick the winners. Here is the, I'm DMing you the, in Zoom chat, the search link. You have to pick two. And
I'm afraid to click
those
this
two
one.
People will get $1,000.
Oh, geez.
That's just the general search.
Oh, here's a guy. He's videoing his milk one, but he missed the banana.
Yeah, I like the one with the pencil.
The pencil?
It's like a pencil taped to like a ledger box actually on somebody's like stomach. I'll link it in the
link it to me.
Somebody's about to get super exposed.
Oh my. It's a pencil banana. And
I mean, it's creative.
Yeah.
I'm still scrolling.
Okay, so not declared a winner yet.
Oh. Yo, Crypto Seahorse, man, why do you those bananas are not looking good, mate. Like maybe you're making banana bread or something, but they are fucked.
Okay, I also like this one. Now everyone's gonna think I have like a dad bod fetish or something. I just think that
this is your audience.
Like, effort wins, you know.
Oh, wow!
I mean, we're in this photo.
Is this a pot belly or like a tumor? Oh, this is. I got to get that off my screen. I like the.
I think that one was crypto.
This is a godson chart, right? The banana.
The Kobe canoe.
The Kobe canoe, is that what you call them? Oh man, this is. I think this is pie that they put in the toilet. I don't want to click it any closer.
Ew.
Okay. No. All right. I'm vetoing one of your, like, this one definitely wins one. The one I just sent in the Zoom chat, this definitely wins at least one.
All right. Here you go. Oh, it's a movie.
Oh, yeah. I was just looking
at
that.
They put a banana clock.
How did they get it in there?
It's always banana time.
I don't know, but that, like...
All right, crypto bear bags.
So crypto bear bags, you've got to be one of the winners. And people, please, sorry to take one of your things, but now it's all you. I'll shut up.
That is one rotten banana. Like, when you take that off the clock, you need to just throw that banana away. You will have $1,000. You can buy. How much does one banana cost? We don't know.
I think they're like $1 in a bodega, probably.
I like this one too.
$10 or something.
Here's a up. They drew on the banana up only with Bitcoin eye.
No, no. The best part is look at these little arms.
Yeah, cut arms. That's a great one. Then the Zen Dejin would get my pick.
Why does this one have like a scuba mask? What's going on here? Like, what can someone explain? Like, what's the meaning behind this?
They just don't want to dox. They'll dox all their tattoos, but they don't want to. They don't want to dox their face. I guess. I think this is Jeebus.
That could be Bob Laxative.
There's no way that this one. I mean, if it was, like, I'm super impressed that these two people like literally just went outside just now to post this. Like, that's impressive.
This is a duel, and they follow directions with the tag. I like this. They're in the cold. They're bare skinned. It's a duel banana battle. I think
that's pretty good.
I like.
Can we reverse image search this to make sure?
Yeah, to make sure that they did it for this contest.
I'm pretty sure they did. If they didn't, then they did a good job of hiding it. So I like that one. And it's painter's tape.
Chat saying this one's definitely a winner.
Yeah, I would vote this one because the effort is definitely up there.
Yeah. Like, and look at the, I mean, like, hers isn't sticking all the way. So, like, this was rapid fire, you know, like, they were really, really going for it. So, banana clock. I got this. Yep. Yeah. All right. So, Crypto Bear Bags and Withered Wizard have won $1,000 from Blockfolio. I'm going to need Ethereum addresses. I will message you, but congratulations. That's $2,000 given away. That is $6,000 that we've given away since we started this show.
Yo, you're going to hate me, but can we also give $1,000 to the dude that drank all the milk?
the first man, I feel this guy, this is the one that I feel bad for. He's got look a banana chat. VR.
Look at chat. Chat is, look at chat spam.
Milk guy. Yeah. We got him. I have to find him. Wait, not this milk guy, right? The guy that drank the milk.
The guy that got rug pulled because we changed the criteria after he sent in a video of himself.
But, and he's got NFTs in his screen name. So Mason Day NFTs.
Yeah.
$1,000. All right, that's $3,000. $7,000 since we started this show. Thanks to Blockfolio.
Also, the people who won, respect the pump. Don't sell yet.
Respect the pump. Chill in our bags before we go. Thanks, People Pleaser, for being here. Thanks, chat, for helping us choose. Thanks, everybody, for your contest submissions. Go to uponly.tv. Kobe, what do you want to leave them with?
None of you are going to make it. Very sorry. You're not going to make it. Bye-bye. Peace.